I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 14th, 2026. 14 years ago today, I got married. Happy anniversary to me. The overall message of today's video is positive. It's not going to sound like, okay, I'm just going to warn you from the outset. It's going to be a dose of reality for Canadians. But the fact is, it's not all doom. It's not all gloom. Look around you. There's a couple people in my comments section that are spiraling hard because of my recent work and the things that I'm highlighting. But I want you to just look around. Things aren't that bad. You don't live in Nigeria. You don't live in Ethiopia or pick your place where food insecurity is going to be a big thing. Not just high prices, but a total lack of food as we head into the fall. And the people at the bottom rung of the ladder are just going to fall off. And that's already baked in because the fertilizer isn't where it needs to be. Spring planting is behind. Thousands of Ukrainians are still dying in a war in a very important agricultural hub. There's a lot of disruptions out there. But overall, I just want you to keep in mind as a Canadian, where you are, and that there's problems. I get it. Healthcare system's in disarray. The education system is teaching gender nonsense and dealing with dogma instead of educating your kids, and that's another thing. Homeschooling is still a viable option. Homeschooling should not be just an escape from the public school system. It should be incumbent on a homeschooler to try and do better, to make sure that your kids are more capable than what the public school system is churning out. You should be in competition to secure your place as the better option. It's not just about avoiding the dogma. It's about generating better results. It's about the superiority of your children having a dedicated parental tutor versus being lost in a sea of 30 to 40 students in a school. But I digress already. I want to talk about the political situation in Canada and how Mark Carney has delivered a barn burner of a speech. And I was going to go through this and review it point by point. But it's painful, and I don't really want to, because we need to face reality. They just secured their majority. Now, this just as another preface, this video is not going to be typical. It might go long. There's a lot I want to cover. It's all up here in my head. I don't write a script. But there's a lot of ground we got to go over. Carney delivered a barn burner after securing his majority government. He's pulled four members of the Conservative Party away into his party, and it is his party. This is his government. This is Mark Carney in control. Don't underestimate this man. There are people online who still call him stupid. He's not. This is not Justin Trudeau, who is just a poster boy for other people. This is a manager, and he is very powerful. There's no denying it. You shouldn't deny it anyway. It's not just that. I mean, if you look at the polling, if they went to an election today, they would win in a landslide. They don't need an election because now they have a majority. But he is ruling the Liberal Party with an iron fist. His word is the law. And he's not taking orders from somewhere else. That man's mind is steering the ship to whatever end. I've said before on this channel, I'm worried about the CPP. I'm worried about the public sector funds. I'm worried about the direction of the country overall. His speech did not assuage my fears. It was a barn burner. It's not just that the Liberal convention applauded every word. It's not just that he delivered it. And I give credit where credit's due. There wasn't a lot of ums and ahs. It was very eloquent. It was very articulate. It was very crafted. But beyond the Liberal Party convention, this thing was applauded all over the country. All you got to do is, and I know you could say it's all bots, but it's not. You just have to read the comment section. You just have to look at the election results and the by-election. Terrebonne was close, yes. But it wasn't by one vote this time. It was by a lot more that the Liberals won it. And here's kind of the first, again, there's just so much ground I want to cover. The first fly in the ointment that I guess I'll get out of the way is this idea of separation. I think it's good for the Western provinces and for Quebec to keep up pressure on the federal government. That's how this country works best. I've said Quebec, the province, has done so well over the years by holding Canada hostage. And I've always expressed wonder as to why the Western provinces have never tried the approach, threatening to take your ball and leave and getting a better deal. Might lead to fixing equalization and a number of other problems that are inherently unfair with this nation. But Quebec and the sovereignists in Quebec, even though they're about to win, it looks like, and form a government, and they're promising a referendum, is that support for independence is only around 28 to 30% in Quebec. And unfortunately, at this point in time, support for independence in Alberta, and I would say we can probably infer the same about Saskatchewan. Maybe it's a little higher. Maybe it's a little lower. I don't know. Nobody's looking into it. There's no polling. But support for independence in Alberta is running at about 30%. So there's a lot of ground to make up if you actually want to get through the referendum. And then there's all the other legal headwinds. And I don't think the work, and this is really important, I don't think the work that the Alberta Prosperity Project is doing, or the Saskatchewan Prosperity Project is doing, or even the Sovereignists in Quebec is doing, I don't think it's without value. I support it. We'll continue to support it. However, considering the strength of Mark Carney at this point, considering he has his majority, considering he is popular, whether you want to reckon with it or not, these things are true. This is the master and commander of the ship right now. And it doesn't really matter what we think. We have to deal with reality. Now, I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to remind you to look around. It can be a lot worse. It's not all doom and gloom. I don't want people to get that impression. I think if you're concerned, as I am, about the direction we're about to go, and we're going there, there's no avoiding it now. There's no... You see influencers making content about... You know, if we could just get an election, or if it was just the right message, or the polling's fake and the Liberals aren't as strong, they're all wrong. They're all just generating content for clicks. This is where we are. This is the direction we're going. And I want to put something to bed. I've said in previous videos that it was my belief that there was a chance that Mark Carney might be coordinating with the United States, or much more likely, fence sitting, playing Europe, playing China, playing the United States to see where all the cards fall before he committed. Like I said, he's not a stupid man. He's got a way that he looks at the world. He's got a strategy. He's moving forward with that strategy, but he understands there's variables. He's a pragmatist. He used that word often in his speech last night. You have to be very careful. And you have to be very wary when governments talk about pragmatism, especially strong ones. There's no, I don't think there's any way that Carney and Trump are working together anymore. I think that's obvious now. I think the quagmire in the Middle East ended any chance there might be of a high degree of coordination. And Carney reiterated this in his speech last night. He reminded Canadians that there is pain ahead, that there's no going back. He leveled a blistering attack on Donald Trump and the Americans. Rightly, you could say, from a nationalist perspective, and we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that right now. Carney has reawakened, reawakened nationalism, but he has successfully packaged nationalism into the Liberal brand. Again, undermining the Conservative Party of Canada. As if, I mean, it's not even worth a conversation now. The Conservative Party is wrecked. They're not going to get the election that they probably needed. They had a chance to trigger it, and they didn't. Just another in a long sequence of terrible strategic decisions by the Conservative Party of Canada. Whoever Pierre Poilievre is listening to, and I believe we're witnessing the end of his leadership. And I don't view that as a positive. I think Doug Ford's going to challenge him. I think some other loser is going to challenge him. And it's going to create a fracture. It's probably going to leave us under the control of the Liberals for another decade. And again, I want to remind you, it could be worse. Look around you. I know healthcare sucks. I know the government is offering you MAID instead of medicine, and there's a lot of problems that way, and we'll continue to examine those problems. But again, it could be worse. You could be living in a food insecure country. You could be living in a country that doesn't produce natural resources. And even though the government talks about net zero and carbon and all this stuff, in the world that's coming, these things are going to fade to the background. The money's already been made. They've already pocketed and made tons of money off of this idea. Carney talked about pain. He talked about no going back, that people are looking towards the relationships of the past and they're never returning, and that we're going to have to make painful, pragmatic choices. This language, after securing a majority, delivering the speech to the Liberal Party convention, makes me believe that he is genuine and that Canadians are lapping it up. You read the comments section and people are like, I'm all for belt tightening. If it means we fight that dreaded Trump to the end, I will suffer. You got to give the guy credit. He's delivered a message of doom and suffering unless he has said there will be a decline in our living standards. He has said there will be more debt, that potentially in the future taxation may increase. He has delivered the bad news to an audience that applauds it. It's almost unheard of in politics. How did Donald Trump win U.S. elections? By promising to make America great again. How does he package his administration? Always in terms of success. America's never been richer, never been stronger. Oil tankers are lining up to buy American crude, even though the underlying math is something we can get into. But it's a message. It's a positive message, even if you believe it's full of baloney. Mark Carney's done almost the miraculous by delivering a message of doom, and the country has embraced it. It really concerns me, because the only way this is going to work, if it works at all, is if things like the Memorandum of Understanding on the pipeline go beyond being a Memorandum of Understanding and the government hastens to develop resources, to develop export markets, and does it quick, uses its totalitarian power to ride roughshod over the provinces and roughshod over treaty rights to get the job done to build a national structure. He talked about that last night. He said he's sick of Canadians. The era of sending 70 cents of every defense dollar to the United States is over. We're going to start producing things right here, even if it's contracted fighters that the patents are owned by a foreign country. We're going to build them here. He talked about using Canadian aluminum, Canadian steel, Canadian this, Canadian that. We have all of these things. Are they actually going to develop these things? Look at him. He's standing in front of the Canadian flag. Under Justin Trudeau and that branch of the Liberal Party, the Canadian flag was a sign of hate. If you displayed it too proudly in 2022 or 2021, it was a cause for suspicion. You might get a knock on your door by the RCMP asking, hey, what are you up to? Not just the RCMP, but one of its branches, CSIS. I know somebody who, simply for attending a rally in 2022, got a call from CSIS and had a conversation with CSIS. Pretty wild stuff, man. And a lot of it just had to do with displays of the Canadian flag. It's been rehabilitated. Nationalism's back on the menu. We're no longer the post-national state in rhetoric. Okay, I'm not talking about a miraculous come again moment. There's going to be people out there like, you're just loving on Carney. I'm talking about reality. The big red machine has shifted gears. And if just rhetoric, the talk is nationalistic in character. Now, if it's going to work, if this transition that we're talking about is real, then we're going to have to accelerate carbon production of resources. We're going to have to abandon the language, or at least delay it. If we really want to fight a trade war with the United States, if we really want to blow up the USMCA, but I'm not sure we do. It could just be rhetoric. I don't see how this government or any government can refuse to make a deal with the United States. It's one thing to promise pain and suffering to the Canadian people rhetorically, and for them to applaud it. It's another thing when it starts to set in and the purchase, like we talked about yesterday, how governments are shy shying away from the Canadian dollar faster than any other currency in the world. They're dumping it. They're getting rid of it. They don't want it in their foreign exchange pool. That's a problem. And that is an indicator. It's a barometer of reality. Right now, Canadians aren't living in reality. The majority, not you, not me. I think I got a pretty good gauge on where we're headed. But there's a lot of Canadians who think this is as simple as buying French's mustard and doing a little belt tightening and not getting that Sing Hortons coffee or getting it less. That's kind of the level they're on. He talked about that in a speech last night. The movement of Canada first. Canada first! The people are moving to buying Canadian products, refusing to buy foreign products. And it works. This rhetoric is working. If we want to get serious about it, if we want to actually survive and we want to retool and reorganize our economy, we're going to have to develop. We might have to nationalize some industries that have a lot of foreign influence. Like, what are we talking about here? What he said last night was Canada standing firm as an independent country, rebuilding its defense industry, rebuilding its military. I mean, conservative talking points for years. The Trudeau government denuded the military and bragged about it. Canadians aren't fighters, we're peacemakers and all the other rainbow nonsense that he liked to preach. Carney's divorced himself from that rhetoric. If we're serious about standing on our own, it's not just about combating Donald Trump, who he targeted almost to the point of viciousness last night in his speech. But we need to stand on our own against the likes of China and India and other larger, more powerful nations that seek to dominate our resource sector and our immigration system. The weird thing is, since he's come to office, they've worked at tightening that immigration system, something the conservatives have criticized the Liberal government for, which is another reason why they're weak. They're kicking out TFWs. They're canceling international student visas. They're going about it methodically, pragmatically, dare I say. And they have been reducing the Canadian population. And they're drifting into canceling permanent residency status for a number of individuals. I don't know if that trend will accelerate, but I look overseas to Europe and the almost universally socialist and liberal governments and Eurocentric governments of Europe are looking at remigration centers. There's a change underway in Europe too. It's not that the nations of Europe are losing or divorcing themselves from their European identity. I think they all, to one degree or another, are committed. When I say all, I should say government. I'm not talking about citizens. Are to one degree or another committed to this war in Ukraine and fighting Russia, the big bad Russian enemy. It's such an inversion. Europe's invaded Russia 6 times. Russia's never invaded Europe, but it's the big bad Russians are coming. They're not divorcing themselves from that. Orban's defeat by Magyar shows you exactly where they're at, but it's a different European mind. It's not the Brussels Davos set that is necessarily dominating the landscape anymore. There's competition within Europe from another branch of, let's say, the socialist wing of thought. A reorganization, which is much more critical of mass immigration and how it's undermining social systems. It's not a race thing. It's not a religious thing. It's, hey, we're going broke and crime is out of control. This didn't work. And so they voted positively on opening remigration centers. Whether it translates into real action or not, I'm just talking about the political motions. At the same time as that's going on, Canada is getting tougher on immigration. And they're doing it very quietly. They didn't campaign on this during the election. It's just something they're doing. It's almost like they knew during the election when they talked about building 500,000 homes a year that they wouldn't have to do that. That the spiraling cost of housing and all of the problems that we face, the drain on our healthcare system is primarily, as always, as I've been saying for years now, just driven by too high immigration. Too many people coming in, putting too much pressure on the services. Too many takers, not enough makers. And it's almost like since Carney came along, they figured that out, but they're not talking about it. They're not campaigning on it. They're not advertising it. And of course, the docile media isn't amplifying it. They write the odd article here and there, but there's not an outrage cycle. It's not like the attacks, wall-to-wall attacks that happens every time a conservative says something. There is cooperation. There is muted outrage. There is no outrage. So there are signs that it looks like his vision, if you can call it that, his plan, if you will, may actually involve trying to reawaken the independence of Canada in a certain way as a productive powerhouse. Doesn't mean that we won't end up being dominated by some other globalist structure. The New World Order as it stands right now is the multipolar order that I've been talking about in my videos for a long time. It is inevitable. The United States has lost its position as the unipolar leader. And it's just a matter of how that transition transpires and how the post-unipolar order alliances shape up. Maybe Carney thinks that he can do more business with China, that he can do more business with India, but because we have an ocean between us, that there's a balancing act to be played out. That Canada has position if we want to take it. We have resources, we have land. If we were to work them in a certain direction, we can certainly stand on our own again as an independent nation, a powerful nation in the world. But they have to get serious about it. They have to get serious about development. They have to get serious about the problems of Confederation. They have to get serious about Alberta's wants and Saskatchewan's wants and the problems that Western Canada has. And they have to get serious in a tangible way that doesn't just satisfy politicians, but actually satisfies the concerns of the people. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't an endorsement. I am acknowledging reality. This is what we're doing. This is the direction we're going. It is the popular direction. It is the legal direction because they now have a majority. We're going wherever he's taking us. Now, he could be blowing smoke up our backsides. He could just be preparing this country to become a vassal state of China or European machinations. It remains to be seen. It certainly seems that he is committed to divorcing us from the United States, but that may not happen either. That could just be rhetoric. Red meat for the crowd that's following the big red machine. You see, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what he does. It just matters what the populace thinks. It just matters what his base thinks. It just matters what the people who follow think. Like I said, he's getting away with political murder. Reforming immigration, doing bail reform, bringing the Liberal Party back to the center, saying one thing, doing another, and everybody just applauds along. So he could very well just engage very tough rhetoric with the Trump administration ahead of negotiations, which are due to start. Negotiations which every day the Middle Eastern conflict goes on, every day the Americans are tied up in that, which, by the way, the blockade, it's got holes all through it. There's tankers sailing right through it. Every day it's a loss of prestige. Every day it's a loss of resources. Every day it's a loss of power for the Americans that they could have applied peaceably to do pretty much whatever they wanted in the hemisphere. They're losing that edge. And we're going to head into these negotiations over the next 3 months for the USMCA. And Canada now has more leverage because of this action the Trump administration has taken than we had before. There's incentive to make a deal. So Carney can talk tough, and then he can deliver a deal, and he will signal a message that that deal strengthens our position and preserves the best aspects of the USMCA. Remember, he's also on the record as saying the USMCA is the best deal. We already have the best deal. That's what he said. It's accurate. Canada had the best deal with the United States. We might have to leave something on the table. Forgive the cut. My screen just randomly cut off. It's probably telling me I need to wrap this thing up, man. I'm getting windy. So where's the hope? Well, the hope is, if you live in Saskatchewan or you live in Alberta, The SaaS party's not going anywhere. They seem to be firmly ensconced. They are responsive. You write letters to your provincial member, you'll probably hear back from them. They'll at least listen to you. They'll at least engage with you. And in Alberta, you have the UCP under Smith, which you can criticize, and it has its problems. But I'll tell you, I'd rather have a Smith or Scott Moe than have a Ford or any of the Eastern so-called conservative premiers right now. And hopefully these governments will continue to put the interests of their provinces first and continue to do whatever they need to do in defiance of federal overstretch and overreach. The SaaS government has taken a number of steps over the years, as I've highlighted on this channel, creating the Saskatchewan Marshal Service, the Saskatchewan Revenue Act, the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, the universal abandonment of the carbon tax, which was illegal and they got away with it, the extension of our coal-fired plants, which is totally necessary, and hopefully we'll continue to develop our resources and continue to advocate for trade with the United States because our future and our destiny depends on that. That's a lining of hope. If you live in another province, I think instead of focusing on the federal government for the next year to 2 years, the next period of time, your time will be better spent focusing on what you can do with your provincial legislatures. If you live in a jurisdiction where it seems absolutely hopeless, looking at Ontario, you might want to take the next year or two and consider relocating. You know, it's not that bad out here. Sure, the winters are long, but it's a great place to be, especially if you have different values from those that have been espoused by Ottawa for the last 12 years. If you're stuck in a position and you can't do those things, focus on your personal resilience. Focus on your health. Look around and realize you do live in a developed country. The lights still turn on. The heat still works. Sure, things are getting expensive. Sure, affordability is an issue. That's probably not going to change. But again, what did he announce? In the wake of a majority government, he announced he's going to take fuel tax, the federal fuel tax off fuel on an ongoing basis until at least the Middle Eastern crisis is over. Now, this isn't a big deal. Like, it's 10 cents a liter on gas, 4 cents a liter on diesel. It's not life-changing money. There's also going to be a price to pay for it down the road. These record deficits, not record deficits, but these deficits we're running, like I said, it's going to be north of $100 billion by the time it's done. Eventually, we have to pay the bill or we have to collapse the currency with all of the problems that that entails. There will be a price to pay, but it could be a lot worse. You live in a resource-rich country. You live in a place that has large amounts of natural beauty. There is opportunity for cheap housing in Saskatchewan and other jurisdictions. If you want to get out of Ontario where things are still out of reach, prices are coming down, so maybe they become within reach for you. The Canadian economy is definitely taking it on the nose. We have a prime minister who's saying it's going to be even harder as we go forward through time, so you can bet there's some belt tightening. Maybe you have an opportunity to get ahead of it. It's been 4 years in a week. This is my 14th anniversary. In 7 days, I believe it's 7 days exactly. In 7 days exactly marks 4 years since I moved to Saskatchewan. In those 4 years, privately and publicly, I've said that you might want to consider reorganizing and relocating your life around the realities that seem to be emerging. And you still have that opportunity. It has not disappeared yet. Houses are still cheap in the rural areas of Saskatchewan. They're even cheap considering the problems of availability, and prices are going to go up in the markets of Regina and Saskatoon. But if you ask me, like, why would you want to live there? No offense to anybody that lives there, but the beauty of Saskatchewan is to be found outside of those cities. The cheap places are to be found outside those cities, and there's work. The cost of living is lower. There's lots of options to continue to think about pursuing, but if you're stuck where you are, just focus on your personal resilience as best you can. Focus on what you can do through your provincial legislatures. I mean, if there's a lack of good news for the provinces that are under fake conservative governments or the provinces that seem very deeply aligned with the Carney Liberals, and you don't like it, and you're not willing to relocate, then you have to figure out how to manage it there. It's not my job or anybody else's job to deliver hope where none exists. Like if you're looking for a more radical change, there's places in this country you're just not going to get it. And you have to deal with that reality and make some choices and make some decisions. And you still have some time, it seems anyway, if the war in the Middle East doesn't get completely wild and out of control. We'll find out. I think on that file, I think eventually Trump has to climb down. I think he's got to admit that he bit off more than he can chew. And I think he's got to leave more on the table. And I think they got to get out. And I hope they do. And I hope they get out before the summer comes. I'm not going to try and give you all of the answers today. I don't have them. I have to meditate on this. I have to think about this. But it is locked in that this is the direction Canada is going. It's a fact. And you have to reckon with that fact. And you have to figure out what you can do with it. And you have to keep in mind, for those who are spiraling, it can always be so much worse. And in fact, Carney is promising it will get worse in some ways. But we're going to have to roll with this. We're going to have to adapt. Look, you survived the C-19 lockdowns. Many of you survived the mandates and got through it without having to participate in the medical experiment. It seemed really dark at the end of 2021. Still dealing with illegal Christmas gatherings and things that people just went and did in opposition. Still doing the Freedom Convoy and the Emergencies Act being invoked and the whole thing broken up and it looked really dark. And then all of a sudden, the dawn came. So if you're feeling the weight of these things, remember, the only constant in life is change. And if you believe that the Carney regime, Carney government, it's not a regime, it's a government. It may have got its majority through subterfuge and undercutting the Conservative Party of Canada. But the fact is, if they went to an election, they would get a much larger majority. Who knows? Maybe he still will. Maybe he'll want that mandate. I don't know what the future holds. But if there was an election, it wouldn't change anything. It would just make his hand that much stronger. And if you think that's the scariest thing you've ever encountered, remember the things that you've been through, and also remember that just about every totalitarian regime, every out-of-control government that's ever reigned in the world came to an end at some point and was replaced by something else, oftentimes not much better. Life goes on. And it could be a lot worse. Canada's still a beautiful country. It still has a lot of beautiful people in it. It still has some flavor between the provinces. But if you're unhappy and you're unsatisfied with one of the more progressive provinces you live in, you still have the opportunity to leave, to go to a different place where the government is better, or at least not as draconian. There's still optionality. And this doesn't negate any of the things that I've highlighted, any of the shortcomings of our charter and our system. All of those things remain true. But I get a sense that there's members of my audience that aren't understanding that my criticism of the system and the state of Canada in no way indicates that I don't have hope for the future. This is by far one of the best time likely, to ever be alive in human history. You have more things at your fingertips that you take for granted that most people, the poorest people, in many ways have more variety available to them than kings did 250 years ago. Sure, Louis XIV could have 20 meals made and he could pick what he ate. You don't have to have them made and have the waste thrown to the dogs. You can just walk out your door with $5 or $10 and you can go buy something, if you live in a city, of immense variety. Even with the war in the Middle East, even with the war in Ukraine, conflict is limited in scope on the European continent in ways that it just hasn't been in the past. Conflict in the world is at one of its lowest levels. I don't want to see that change. There's a lot of people who are like, I don't want to bring kids into this world because it's terrible. It's not that bad, man. People lived through the plague and the dark ages and the little ice age and famines and pestilences and changes like that we can scarcely fathom. I think that's one of the problems is we don't take time and read history and then actually meditate on what that history means, what it would have been like to live through those times. Can you imagine being alive? The last couple hundred years of the Roman Empire, is it fragmented and fell apart? What it must have been like to be a citizen during those times? The pestilences, the plagues, the civil disorder? Or going through the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages? We still have a civilization here. The lights still turn on. Electricity, this marvel, isn't even 2 centuries old yet. And it's mass deployment. Can you even call it a century old? Where people have ready access to electricity on demand? There's still a lot of good. There's still a lot of color in the world. And if you're feeling like it's all doom, I don't know. I hope that this video, as halting as it's been, spoken wordy as it's been, and I don't know, maybe not as convincing as it's been, what I'm finished this way, I'm trying to communicate that I am not without hope. I don't walk around in a depressed state all day, looking out the window forlorn. Sometimes, over the last 45 days, the criticism, the name calling and all that nonsense because of my take on the war in the Middle East, that can get to me. But I'm not walking around in a depressed state. I still feel a lot of hope for the future. I see problems that we have to deal with, but it isn't all dark. And that's all I want to leave you with today. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one.